You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Today's episode is sponsored by DraftKings. Stay tuned because you'll hear more about DraftKings and all it has to offer throughout the show. DraftKings, the crown is yours.
Roy, you do not make the Florida Panthers underdogs against anybody.
Yeah.
Anywhere, anybody. They go into Dallas last night, three goals in the last period, third period, in order to come back. Ridiculous. But the Oddball Crew has flown in, and I'm pretty sure the reason the Oddball Crew flew in is just because they know that the Jets story that Stugatz had so much dream and expectation for ends with their quarterback retiring to run for a failed vice presidential bid. And with Tyrod Taylor as his starting quarterback. I'm pretty sure that's why Charlotte and Amin flew in today.
Yeah, we just wanted to be here for moral support for Stu.
Thank you.
Anytime.
Yep. The Jets should get a compensatory second round pick for this, right? I mean,
they should get something. They should get, is it a second round pick or
from
should,
who? Congress?
I don't know. Anybody.
No, the league, look.
The Packers have my second round pick.
The league should just, because they're like, you know what, Aaron, thank you. We had all that problem with Colin Kaepernick and the flag. Now we've got an active player sort of on the other side of all of this, possibly as a vice presidential candidate.
Well, he'd be independent, so he'd be right down the middle, Dan. Right. You don't know where Aaron Rodgers' politics are.
I think it's fair to say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think Aaron Rodgers, it's not so much that Aaron Rodgers believes in stuff, it's that he doesn't believe in stuff. His whole platform is like, here are the things that I don't believe in. And RFK Jr. is like, haha, my man. Welcome.
Skeptical.
Didn't he just do this whole thing with Jimmy Kimmel, though, and Jeffrey Epstein? And didn't RFK say he flew on Jeffrey Epstein's plane
twice?
Well,
let's get that sound real quick here, because I do want to think for a moment about what that cabinet looks like. Because you know Randall Cobb's on it.
And so is Bakhtiari.
Yes, yes. Lazard is on it. We might have, who else? Which one of the Packard tight ends
Nathaniel
is going to be
Hackett
on it?
Jordy Nelson. Chief of staff, for sure.
Here, this was unusual. The last time I heard from Robert Kennedy, I do not know what the context for this could possibly have been, but they asked him evidently about being friends with Epstein, and he's like, I'll do you one better than that. I was always entertaining rapists.
So, and you run into everybody in New York. I mean, I knew Harvey Weinstein. I knew Roger Ailes. I knew O.J. Simpson came to my house. Bill Cosby came to my house.
An odd flex.
It's funny. And not in any way.
Shout out to Andrew Schultz. That's a good get right there. RFK? Wow.
Yeah.
Is it?
RFK Jr.?
Isn't it?
Have we had him?
Well, Pablo declined him. He was offered him and declined him.
Really?
I don't think it's hard to get a guy running for president on your show. I feel like it's the opposite. They're trying to be everywhere.
We've never had a presidential candidate on our show. We had a president, but we didn't know he was going to be a candidate at the time.
Charlotte, you're staring open mouthed at Amin. Do you want to do that oddball with RFK? Is that something you want to do? The disgraced Kennedy brother?
Absolutely not. I'm just like still shocked by that clip. Yeah. He's literally like, oh, yeah, you want to hear some bad guys? I'll tell you about some bad guys.
Oh, you hadn't seen that?
No.
You had not heard? That's the last time I heard from him. It was last week. It was going everywhere because it's like, it's fairly amazing judgment to go that route on that question.
I don't want to recklessly speculate here, but does that mean...
Recklessly speculate?
Yeah,
exactly. It's a tough one, yeah.
Does that mean that RFK Jr. is a Celtics fan, given where the Kennedys are from?
Sure. Huh. Okay, well, let's not.
That's all add up now.
That's neither here nor there. I mean,
why are you whispering as if you think that's the better way to do this?
That's the worst thing about him, to Amin.
Like, me?
We have to accuse him of this in silence.
I'm whispering?
It's
called sotto voce. You should learn it sometimes. You got to mix it up. Sometimes you're loud and sometimes you're soft.
Hmm.
And it gets the point across.
Amin was worried that was character defamation. He was going to get sued, so he had to say it quietly.
Yeah.
Thank you for teaching me how to do this, Amin. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
The other story today that everyone is talking about.
There's another story?
There is another story than the idea that we might have an active NFL player running for vice president.
Why do they do this? Like, someone, I think, asked Steph if he wants to go into politics. He's like, oh, you never know. And, like, The Rock keeps working. Like, why do celebrities think they want to be president of the United States? It seems like such a hassle.
I know, but one was.
Exactly. That's why.
Yeah, but, like, how's that working out?
Well,
pretty good.
He's about to get reelected.
But he owes $400 million.
Not in jail.
You know what I want to do if I have $500 million? Not owe $400 million.
Or just never be seen again.
Or heard from. Exactly right. Like, do they just need, like, the ego needs, they need everyone thinking about them and talking about them constantly that they need to be in politics? Why?
Also, something, sorry, Dan, I know you're trying to move on from Aaron Rodgers, but I have one more thing. Say this went well for RFK and Aaron Rodgers. What if the Jets also have a deep playoff run?
Right.
And the game conflicts with the inauguration? What does Rodgers do?
Mm-hmm. What do you think he does?
Luckily, they don't have to worry about that. Because they're still the
from
Jets.
Your lips.
A deep playoff run?
Well, either, really.
I have him taking the oath right there at the 50-yard line.
What's more likely, though? Jets AFC Championship game conflict with the inauguration or RFK Jr. elected?
If sports
RFK Jr.
If sports are indeed a mirror for society, I do believe that the open to the Jets season would sort of mirror what that presidential campaign would do, where they have the flag, they wave it at the beginning, and then four plays later, everything is just total shit. We waved the flag for those few moments, and what we win, we're against vaccines. That's our platform.
They also, if this happens, they did register KennedyRodgers.com. And wow. If this happens, guarantee you the picture of Aaron Rodgers carrying the flag out onto the field is the header of the website.
Oh. It's a great picture. We can't. I mean, that is
the one thing happened. He did.
That the is highlight the of one my thing season.
We can't dispute that.
That is the highest the Jets have ever been.
It was a great 15 seconds.
Not since Namath. Not since Joe Namath in 1969 had the Jets felt as good as they did the moment Aaron Rodgers in a stadium filled with flashing lights brought hope expectations to the Jets for four plays.
Sorry, Stu.
I hate them.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Don Lebatard.
Common thread was Stu Gatch chumming it up with Aaron Rodgers.
Yep. I met my quarterback.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As you know. Sugatz didn't talk to Aaron Rodgers.
Nope.
Sugatz thought country music superstar Jake Owen was Aaron Rodgers. They had a 20-minute conversation.
Identical twins. I mean, Jesus.
Sugatz.
Listen, I will never have the relationship with Aaron Rodgers that I have with the guy that I thought was Aaron Rodgers.
So the way that...
I mean, that is the greatest conversation I've ever had with my quarterback.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugats.
Also yesterday, though, a lot of people... I'd really like to know from the group. I don't know how much Saban coverage you guys consumed yesterday, but if anyone ended up on the other side of this, because I believe... Nick Saban making as much money as he did in that sport and then coming out against the idea of the sport can't be about money the moment I lose control of the money and everyone can get the money. But when Nick Saban says what I'm about to play here, I want to ask you guys if you heard anyone supporting Nick Saban, any media members, when I think about the disconnect about what college fans might want in terms of freedom in this realm. Whether they'd want Nick Saban in charge, and if the media just goes the other way, which I'm going to go as well, where I just point out the hypocrisy again and again of how much money this man made off of the backs of these kids.
All the things that I believed in for all these years, 50 years of coaching, no longer exist in college athletics. So it's always was about developing players. It was always about helping people be more successful in life. My wife even said to me, we'd have all the recruits over on Sunday with their parents for breakfast, and she would always meet with the mothers and talk about how she was going to help and impact their sons and how they would be well taken care of. And she came to me, you know, like right before I retired and said, why are we doing this? And I said, what do you mean? She said, all they care about is how much you're going to pay them. They don't care about how you're going to develop them, which is all what we've always done. So why are we doing this? So, you know, to me, that was sort of a red alert that we really are creating a circumstance here that is not beneficial to the development of young people, which is why I always did what I did. My dad did it. I did it. And that's the reason that I always like college athletics more than the NFL is because you had the opportunity to develop young people. So, and I want their quality of life to be good. I think, as I said before, name, image, and likeness is a great opportunity for them to create a brand for themselves. I'm not against that at all. But to come up with some kind of a system that still can help the development of young people, I think, is paramount to the future of college athletics.
Way to throw Miss Terry under the bus there. Yeah.
Great tan, though. I mean,
well, he's probably been playing golf every day for the last 2 months.
Amin, you were howling with laughter. I'm assuming that's what the media's response is. I've been talking for a while about the idea of just greed, resplendent, unwavering greed, not just in sports, but everywhere. Everywhere on the globe has been a rotting contaminant. But when it gets to the kids is when it's a problem. When it gets to college kids want to be paid for it, then all of a sudden Nick Saban is next to Ted Cruz, and he's comfortable going sort of the Tuberville route of what can I do in my region of the country to get the people who I'm surrounded by who believe the college kid should be kept down because it gets in the way of the greater good of Alabama being the best.
But he's not against NIL.
Well, this isn't the first time that he's said this. Remember when him and Jimbo Fisher got into it two summers ago and he was like, Texas A&M is buying all their players, and Jimbo Fisher got really upset and bristled at that. Like, this has been, I think, his viewpoint for a while. And I would say probably a lot of people, I can't speak for the media reaction as a whole, but I think a lot of people do think that there needs to be some regulation and restriction to NIL. The problem has always been, how do you do that, and how do you put a cap on athlete compensation for their name, image, and likeness, and who regulates that, and what is that when the coaches have unfettered access to wealth and riches for coaching in the sport? That's always been the issue.
What were you laughing at, Amin?
Oh, so many things. First of all, he was acting his ass off with his voice breaking there, like, oh, the kids, and oh. So that made me laugh. But then I looked at Ted Cruz staring, gazing at him lovingly, and I just thought, how big is Ted Cruz's boner right now? But like, let's not play these black kids. Let's keep them broke for life or whatever. And then the coup de grace, like, that's why I like college football more than NFL. Because I couldn't tell them naysayers what to do. They were getting paid. These ones over here, I could tell them everything. I was like, come on, man. That whole thing was just hilarity. I midway through it, I tried to imagine if this were like 1866, and this is like a former plantation owner. Like,
we should have put him in a powdered wig.
No.
Nick Saban should have been wearing a powdered wig.
The Colonel Sanders suit. He should have been dressed like Don Johnson and Django, talking about like, I can't tell them what to do now. All they care about is getting paid. No, Sherlock, you got paid for 50 years.
Well, also,
and you've been paying them players, for 10 years.
Players went to Alabama so they could get paid in the NFL, so it's not like they didn't care about money beforehand. Plus, obviously, players were getting paid in a even less regulated way. And he also went on to talk about parity and, like, this will make the rich richer and the poor poorer. Like, I don't even know how to begin to unpack that when you've been the head coach at Alabama for like 20 years.
Well, I'm about to.
You are the
rich. No, I'm gonna do this for you right now. I'm going to unpack it for you with the details that you might want on this.
That's very nice of you.
I have them all in front of me here because, I shouldn't say all.
I hate unpacking.
I shouldn't say all.
I like packing.
I don't have them all in front of me. You like packing?
I like packing. It's like anticipation. Like, here we go. We're going on a trip.
When you're packing, you're going somewhere. Yeah. Presumably fun.
Yes.
You know, maybe on vacation. Mm-hmm. But when you're unpacking, it's a hassle because you just want to get to the fun. Right? Yeah.
But when you are leaving, do you like packing again? No, right?
No.
It's easier than packing the first time, though.
Really?
You just put all this stuff that you brought in your hotel room back.
Do you separate your dirty clothes and your clean clothes?
Yes, always.
How?
With a laundry bag.
Okay, no, that's what I was asking.
Oh, no, I put a demarcation. I put a T-shirt across the line that marked. I'm like, this is
zipper pocket for me.
If it works out, I do one half of the suitcase dirty and then the stuff I didn't
bring. Yeah, that's a good move.
Nice.
Hey, what were those Saban facts?
We're getting to them.
We'll get to
dirty stuff with the shoes.
Two minutes. Get out of here. Don't show people that. Don't show people that. Don't get out.
He's huffing and puffing over here. Like,
2 minutes.
They're talking about laundry again.
Get out. I'm huffing and puffing.
You were huffing and puffing.
I was hoping you'd do the next 9 minutes and I could leave because you understood what we were doing here. I wanted 9 minutes unpacking. I wanted 9 straight minutes unpacking. Instead, I've got you showing everybody what the joke is.
Well, you know, the good thing about unpacking, though,
what
is that you don't actually have to do it like well. Yeah. Like I'm in a hotel right now to be here with you lovely folks.
Thank you for that.
Yeah. My absolute pleasure. and all my stuff is not unpacked. It's just sort of like messier in my suitcase.
Oh. What's the number of days that you go on a trip that you need to unpack? More than three.
I can push it. I'm with Chris.
Yeah. Oh, 3 days or less?
Yeah, same.
You're saying unpack and put everything away where it should be. Like you're in your room.
When
we
went to the Super Bowl, I unpacked.
I unpacked.
And
you have to.
Yes.
But like on a weekend trip, I won't.
How many days before the trip do you start packing?
I pack an hour and a half before I leave.
Yeah. Wow.
My wife starts like 4 days before we leave. Mm.
I like the idea of it. Mentally, I start doing that, but it's always a game time decision. And then you're like trying to cram everything. You're sitting on it. Then you do like the extender thing on the bag. And then you have to push it down and close
the extender thing. Yeah. My dog is afraid of suitcases. So I wait to put it in the suitcase until minutes before we leave. But I will start folding and organizing days before.
I would argue I'm the best bag closer here.
Huh. I would go toe-to-toe with you, Chris.
Now, I believe that you believe that.
I can. When I get my knee on that thing, I'm closing this bag.
Oh, it's game over?
Oh, wait, hold on. This is a different game, though.
Talking about a full suitcase that needs to be shut.
Hard case or
that.
Soft?
You would be my go-to guy on this show. Yes.
But you're not the most organized packer. That's what you're saying.
No.
You're the one that can get the bag closed the best.
I don't use
packing
cubes.
No, me neither. Is anyone? Is it any cube people here?
No.
I've dabbled with cubes, but I'm not sure about them yet. Mm. Lucy's a big cube gal.
Yeah.
Cubes, you know, packing is sort of like writing an article.
Yeah.
Because you get an outline in your head, you think about it for a while, you agonize, you put it off, you don't do it, then you start doing it, then you get distracted, then you realize you're about to miss your deadline or your flight, and then packing cubes are the outline of suitcases.
Do I have this wrong around you, Charlotte? Because I don't know you like this, but I would assume that you give off a little bit like your entire life is, I've got to pack 90 minutes before I'm going to wherever my next 90 minutes are going. Like, you're always chasing sort of the bags in your life.
Oh, he says you seem scattered.
100,000%. Yeah. I don't know if I've ever been more accurately pegged than you're always chasing the bags in your life 90 minutes before. But I will say I'm pretty good at hitting a deadline.
I want to ask a number of different questions of the audience here. Is your dog afraid of your bag? Because I don't think Willow's afraid of your bag. I think Willow doesn't like it when you leave, and your bag represents that every time.
Correct.
They know.
Yeah.
Willow does not like when you leave the house, and that she's got no fear of bags if she's allowed to be around the bags and go with the bags, but she doesn't know where those bags go. She knows mommy takes them with her, and then Willow's alone. She fears that more than anything.
Those bags, those bags connote leaving without me. Yeah.
Some really good doggy psychology, Dan.
Okay. Yes, I thank you. I'm an expert in this realm. One of the few. I also want to ask the question, though. Do you like packing? Yes or no? And I also want to ask the question, when do you like packing more? To go for the trip or to get back home? Because there seems to be some disagreement here. I'm happy that Amin is back. I do want to ask you guys a question.
Are you?
I mean, yes, because I do want him to be here this hour and help the show with not whispering and not revealing all of the innards of the show to everybody.
Right.
He gets it.
But if you can put on, if you can, someone look this up for me, because you mentioned Don Johnson and Django, and I really do think like his last 9 roles are just racist. Like he's being stifled. I think he's done like the last.
Really?
I think he was a Klansman in one of Tarantino's other movies when they couldn't see anything because the pillowcases didn't work right. But I'm pretty sure Don Johnson's like last 5 or 6 roles are. Wasn't he? What was that HBO the one season or 2 seasons? The Watchers.
The Watchmen. It was
the Watchmen,
right?
Yes, the Watchmen. Wasn't he also a racist in The Watchmen?
Yes, I believe so.
He's just going around.
There's a lot of roles for you in Hollywood if that's what you're typecast as.
Oh yeah, very easy role to fill.
It's a safe play, I guess.
Did you know he was a powerboat racer?
What?
Whoa, Miami Marina. Well, I don't know, Justin. According to, that's how words work. His Wikipedia. In 1986, Johnson received his first motorsport victory. He won a 1,100 mile powerboat race up the Mississippi River.
It was in Mississippi?
It's close.
So not donating to the Canes NIL fund.
Hmm.
And that's how we bring it back to college football, Dan.
Ah,
he was in a movie called High Heat, and I missed it. I mean,
I just saw that.
I know.
Put it on the poll, please, Juju. Can you believe that Stugatz missed the movie High Heat? So here are some facts for you on Nick Saban, okay?
Hold on. High Heat synopsis. Ray and Anna, husband and wife, own and operate a restaurant together on their opening night. Both of them are keeping secrets, however. Ray is in debt to the mafia, and Anna is an ex-KGB agent.
Right.
Both secrets are revealed when the mafia sends people to kill Ray, but Anna fights them off. Ray and Anna must work together to save their restaurant and their lives.
How'd I miss it? I mean, seriously.
Sounds like Frozen 3.
What year was this?
2022.
2022. Oh,
I thought you were
going to
say 1987.
And Liam Neeson's not in this?
No.
There's been a big movement in Hollywood lately to have like the woman lead role be like secret agent or former secret agent that then goes in and saves the world.
It's called inclusiveness, I think.
That's I don't think
inclusion.
Is it?
I don't think it's
is
that.
It? Well said. Is it?
What happened?
To say that confidently, that poorly, is the Amin experience first hour when he's just off the flight and he's tired. This happens every time he lands. He thinks he's just going to get on the treadmill at 100 miles an hour, and he's just a little slow and whispering, and then he gets mad at me for pointing it out. These numbers, though, Stugatz, on Nick Saban, because maybe none of these are surprising to you. This is just what's known. I would like for you guys to look up for me what the second highest paid employee, state employee in Alabama has been over the last 20 years, because he made $124 million in contracts at just Alabama, and Stugatz was probably underpaid.
Yep.
He had a country club membership paid for by the university, so that's taxpayers. He's got two full-sized cars for business and personal use, and no one knows whether those were part of the Ferrari collection he would show to recruits, but he would show a Ferrari collection to recruits. I don't imagine Nick Saban with Ferraris, but maybe you did. He has 24 hours a year on non-commercial airlines, so anytime he wants a private plane, basically, he can do it. His salary the last season was $11.4 million, and I'm guessing there's no college coach who made more in endorsements. It's estimated at $5 million. He'd get $75,000 for appearing in the SEC championship game, $125,000 if he won it. He'd get $65,000 for appearing in any bowl game at all. He bought a mansion recently on Juniper Island for $17.5 million. The $5 million in endorsements is a guess, but it's got to be more than any other college coach of any kind. And in 2013, 10 years ago, and we don't know how many more of these arrangements there are, right? Because guys like this get paid $200,000 for showing up and making a corporate speech. Just talking, just shaking hands with your CEO for 30 minutes, he gets $250,000 at least. The Crimson Tide Foundation was started, a private foundation set up to help fund athletics at Alabama. They spent $3.1 million to just buy Saban's four-bedroom, four-and-a-half-bathroom home, and he continued to live in it. So they just bought his house as well. And there, nobody had this deal. And then there's this one. This one's good, too. And, by the way, deserved, earned for the CEO of this business. His contract called for him at the University of Alabama to meet each February to calculate the average salaries of both the three highest paid head coaches in the SEC and the five highest paid coaches nationally. If Saban's total salary was lower than either of those two averages, his pay would rise to match the higher one. So inflation was not going to like cause Nick Saban to ever be like Jared Goff was, where he was the highest paid. No, Nick Saban's always the highest paid according to whatever you're paying people at that rate. Like, what's the other argument on the other side of this?
And that's why I like college more than the NFL.
Mahomes should take notes from that.
Instead of cutting salary?
No, I'm just saying, like, he should be doing that for all the quarterbacks in the league with the Chiefs.
but this, and then he leaves, and Steve Sarkisian gets the same sort of deal at Texas.
He had leverage, I mean.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Don Levitard.
Chris Cody does an impression. Just be careful.
Dangerous game here. This is a dangerous game.
I don't want to play this game.
No, he was saying, man, I could do such a great Kendrick
Perkins. No, Burton. I don't want to play this game.
He's like, man, I can talk just like him.
This is who we're going to trust
Amin,
with
you
this.
Do it. Let's let Amin do it, I think.
Stugatz.
I think you could do it, Chris, because you did a great Charles Barkley. You're one for one there.
Did no Super one two. Just hear the segment we just did with Amin? We cannot be
Amin's
taking
judgment is not the
counsel
best.
From the local drunk on whether or not you should do the impersonation of a black man stumbling over his words. Like, you don't see the bad in that.
There was.
Moses Moody? Moody Moses? Moses
don't,
Moody?
You need that. It sounds
Chris.
Worse.
Be careful, man.
We gotta, like, we cannot do this. It's too close to the line. This is where the line is. Something legitimately funny can't be funny because we're scared our ginger's going to do something racist by accident.
Carry the hell on, Dan.
Rachel.
Dan, the line is where we feel alive, though.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugats.
I need for you, Chris Cody, please, before the end of the show, to just find for me the way that I stumbled through the names of Sarkisian and Tuberville, because Stugatz, as soon as the microphones went off, says to me, howling, that's why I call him Sark, Dan.
It's easier, man.
And then, everyone calls him Sark.
Never has he looked so wise to me. I'm drowning in my vulnerability. Abilities, and he's like, yes, he's got the obvious second guess as we go right off the air. Amin also, he had the closing line for the last segment because he does not want to leave this Aaron Rodgers topic alone. He's got his cabinet filled out already.
Nice.
And I do want to talk about this a little more because if we're going to go full-blown crazy as a country, let's go ahead and do it. Let's have it, like, saturate sports as well. Remember when we said politics are not going to infiltrate sports? We're going to stick to sports. We're gonna keep them separate and apart, and we're going to do this by ending racism in the end zone and moving on with our lives. And then the walls cave in, and now the Jets quarterback is being mentioned with Jesse Ventura.
But why my team? Why the Jets? Like, infiltrate somewhere else,
because,
not the Jets.
Because the viral strain of crazy that is all over America will infect at least one of the teams, and it just happened to be the most cursed of them.
I'll tell you this. If he runs on a platform with RFK that he will make the Jets better, he'll make the Jets good again, I will vote for Aaron Rodgers. How about that?
You know what's crazy?
That's how desperate I am. 40 years!
We keep talking about politics entering sports. Nobody had on their bingo card sports entering politics. That's right. The best defense is a counterattack, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to infiltrate Washington, D.C. We're going to put Patrick Ewing in the White House. We're going to put...
That didn't work at Georgetown.
No, it didn't.
That's a bad idea.
Yeah, Patrick Ewing to D.C.
Why did you just do
it.
That?
I don't know.
You just led an insurrection and we fell down at the gates. Like, what?
I can't be a leader, Dan.
What just happened? You were trying to get a mob going.
I was waiting for someone to be like, yeah.
But Patrick Ewing failed miserably as the coach of Georgetown.
I should have started with Aaron Rodgers. I don't know why I went away from it. It's called inclusiveness.
Yeah, it is.
That's right. That's what it is.
Jermel Hill's going to join us here in a second, but the naivete, because we have clips to undermine our particular echo chamber, okay? Because Pablo Torre started his podcast, which now has a pretty giant following because he caught on to something and people really like the weirdness of what he's doing. Pablo Torre can go all woke and liberal on you, but never forget that he was wearing a whale costume the first time Jesse Ventura appeared on us on ESPN, and we just entertained conspiracy theory after conspiracy theory, smiling, and again, with Pablo Torre dressed as an orca.
You know, I got in all sorts of trouble when I questioned 9/11. Well, I've been vindicated because in the new chapter in the book, the 9/11 report has 28 redacted pages that we're not allowed to see, that George Bush redacted them. Well, Congressman Cook and Senator Graham were on the intelligence. I'm not lobbing it out there. It's what's in the 9/11 report that they won't let us see. There's 28 redacted pages. The grid, they've both told me. All it deals with is...
I are both kind of just shocked and mortified. Pablo's dressed like an orca. Jesse Ventura with us.
That is great.
That's cinema.
That was his profile picture for the longest time. Him as an orca with his fins on his face in shock.
Forgive me again. Forgive me, audio audience. I promise you this particular thing is better enjoyed visually. I wish to play again, please. The sheer horror. Pablo, beginning his career at ESPN, I believe, is looking into the cameras scared, dressed as an orca because of the words being said just freely years ago. We were ahead of the curve. We were talking politics before anybody at ESPN.
You know, I got in all sorts of trouble when I questioned 9/11. Well, I've been vindicated because in the new chapter in the book, The 9/11 report has 28 redacted pages that we're not allowed to see, that George Bush redacted them. Well, Congressman Cook and Senator Graham were on the intelligence. I'm not lobbing it out there. It's what's in the 9/11 report that they won't let us see. There's 28 redacted pages. The grid, they've both told me. All it deals with is...
I are both kind of just shocked and mortified. Pablo's dressed like an orca. Jesse Ventura.
The best part is that initial... You know how you're in an interview and the interview subject is talking
half
about
listening.
Whatever. You're half listening. You're trying to think of what your next question is. Maybe you're looking up, you know, your fantasy team or whatever. And then you hear something that just snaps you out of that funk. Like, wait, what did he say? And the way he looks up and then looks back at Mike and then looks back at the camera.
You know, it's weird, though, is that that was my onboarding for Metalark. They made me listen to that clip wearing an orca costume. Yeah. So
how'd you do?
Phenomenal.
Billy, the only other time I remember seeing a face quite that horrified on our air was the day that I was getting suspended, that the director just cut to you in the penalty box as our executive producer for
and
the day.
And I couldn't hear anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you
classic
could,
shot.
But you knew.
The day before I left for my bachelor trip. Fun time.
Video, can you find that, please? I believe it's the single greatest video produced in the history of our broadcasts. I believe... I will remind people, I don't know if they're going to be able to find it before the end of the segment, Stugatz, but you have to find a specific clip that begins with Billy staring all over the place, confused, because a director had purposely taken the camera off of me because I was talking about Trump, and they said, if we just put it on this producer in a colorful penalty box, surely no news outlet will run it this way.
Even though the audio was still running.
Yeah, correct. That's how it played out.
But not unlike Jesse Ventura talking about 9/11, I don't know what the audio will be specifically, but comedically, I think it'll work perfectly with the video of a scared Billy looking around in charge and unable to hear what is happening as the director is saying, take the camera off of him.
Just trying to get to my wedding day a week away.
Scared Billy. Aww.
All right, we'll get that.
He's always scared.
I'm about to say.
No, but this, Billy, you don't think this video is funny? Because I think it's the funniest thing, the funniest video we've ever made.
I don't know.
I'm glad you enjoy it.
Okay, I'm overselling then. If we do find it, we'll put it in front of the group and we'll have you guys vote. Roy, do you have a thought on this matter?
It was the funniest thing that I've ever seen.
Ever?
Yeah, one of.
I mean, it's very high on the list. A confused Billy wandering around, not able to hear, looking like he's very scared of what I'm saying.
I couldn't hear, but I had a feeling what was coming. I knew. Ish. Oh, boy. There's my face. Chris found it on YouTube.
Okay.
It is the funniest thing. You're right.
Yeah, that shirt really tells the story.
Okay, this is Billy in charge. He's supposed to have an IFB in, but I've sent him into the penalty box. And you know, I am now getting suspended for talking about Trump, saying you can't be in front of a chanting crowd saying send her back.
And as you said, Billy can't hear your audio, but you can. He knows what's happening. Like, he knows that
I knew what was coming after. I knew trouble was headed our way, and I knew I just needed to get on a plane the next day, and that's all I was hoping would happen. I've aged.
Talk to your younger self, Billy.
Billy, I want to tell you it's going to be all right, but I'm still not sure.
Yeah, he doesn't think so.
He just ran away.
Someone needs to do something.
He sprinted. All right, get the audio accompaniment and see if it's even funnier than that. Stugatz, I don't know how you feel exactly. I don't know how Jessica feels about the intoxicant of football flooding back into your life yesterday with the transaction. But it really is amazing that it really is. That football would be such an addiction at this point that their basic admin day, like where they're just like shuffling paperwork all around the league,
right,
is like a day of national celebration for us because we're like, yes, everybody's moving teams. And look, they're all one-year contracts now.
I know we've kind of done this before, but imagine like if we didn't announce all these things and like just week one – You just see Kirk Cousins emerging from the Atlanta.
That was my idea last week.
That's what I'm saying. Right. It's just it.
Yes.
I know it's so much fun this time, but imagine the excitement of week one if we didn't know all these moves.
Like if the Ravens, they have no idea who their new running back is, and it's revealed opening day, it's Derrick Henry. Oh, my God. That would be great.
Chris, that's a central argument that I have against like the importance of newsbreakers. And do they actually break news, or do they just tell us things that we're going to find out anyway? Like, one way or another, we're going to find out Derrick Henry's a Baltimore Raven. I didn't need Adam Schefter to tell me that.
But a team press release, I'd rather just have it from Adam. If it's going to be the run out of the tunnel week one, then I'm fine not knowing it. But if it's just going to be a team release, I'm cool knowing it with the reporters.
Yeah, you'll figure it out.
Counterpoint, I think that normal companies, instead of the NFL doing things the way normal companies do, which is just like not announce everything all the time because nobody cares. Normal companies should start having like press conferences and TV shows to be like, our new chief technology officer coming out of the tunnel is Jeff.
When I say yesterday was
last 2 days, really.
Right, just whatever. Right. Let's make it 3 days,
I wish it was longer.
Three glorious administrative days, three work from home days for the NFL. Would you agree with me on we should just start making these 3 days what the draft is, where just agents are coming out and confetti cannons all over the place, just all day farting football content into the sky? Like, just here's your football. We're going to steal these 3 days, too, at the beginning of March.
Yes.
Charlotte's idea is, it sounds good in theory, but it becomes sad and people are going to get upset when it's this new head of customer service, a 3-year deal for $150,000.
$150,000.
No, I'm just saying, because like
across 3 years, and then it's actually heavier on the back end, but then they cut them before.
Team option, right. Non-guaranteed deal.
Is their vacation getting paid out? Is that in the press release?
Absolutely not.
The agent has to come out and say, by the way, he got like 4 months of PTO over the lifetime of the deal.
Just keep giving contracts, little stats.
Think of the news my football team got over the last 3 days. Everyone else is celebrating. My quarterback wants to be the vice president.
Yeah, I'd rather have Russell Wilson.
Adrian would work himself into a frenzy.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.